afternoon, and welcome to another episode of
We the People.
We were almost late. No, We the People Radio. That's what we should have called it. We're probably late. Oh, my gosh. So, we have our guest in the studio today, so there won't be any of that drama.
No more shenanigans.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice.
We don't have to deal with Skype?
And a no Skype, no.
Wow.
Wait, he can't hear us. We're trying to take a break.
What am I going
to
do?
I know. Take all the fun away from it. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. They're located up on 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need tractor work, you want tractor parts, go up and see them. They do it all up there. And if you need service work done, they're wide open. Things kind of slowed down up there. They could get you right in. So
it's amazing. We burn up enough land and
yeah,
you can't work it. You can't mow it. Yeah. Can't do much of anything.
I think that might have had an impact on it.
As the fire trucks go speeding by outside.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're on the web at ReddingTractors.com, or you can reach them by phone at 226-9226. Team Power.
Bingo.
There you go.
The best tractors, the green ones and the orange ones. Stay away from the red ones and the blue ones. Just stick with green and orange. Alrighty. So, you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Archives go back to 2010, right about this time. Sometime in October 2010. Go figure. And we cover all sorts of topics, lots of politics, lots of things that you hear potentially little bits about on the news, but they only interview those people for, 14 seconds. My favorite ones are the ones with the panel of experts, the people that actually know stuff, and they've got four of them on there, and they each get 30 seconds. Like, I can't believe they actually agreed to drive to a studio for that. So our format is a little different. We like to have our guest on for the whole 2 hours so we can chat and goof around and learn stuff. And so we'll have that all for you also on archive after the program. So if you're, miss the second hour or whatever your deal is, or you'd rather listen to it without commercials, although we celebrate capitalism.
That's what I do. I listen to it commercial-free.
We do cut the commercials out afterwards, so you can listen to that. Send it to a friend.
Because I don't listen to it when we actually record it.
You're not really here when
we're
here. I've noticed that when I talk to you sometimes, actually. That explains a lot. Maybe I should have archives at home. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so our guest is David Harris, Jr. I'm juniored out. Jared, are you a junior, too? Okay, so you and I are we're the originals, and then we're flanked by two juniors here. We got William Cundiff Jr. and we've got David Harris Jr.
So I'll tell you what, first one was so good, I had to make another one.
That's right.
We didn't have an actual bio on David, but he's like, "Oh, I was born here in
That's
Reading."
Right. Absolutely.
What the heck?
Yeah, Reading native.
Where were you at the old Breslauer Hospital down there?
Shasta General, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Bill's not from here. I'm not from here. Jared, are you from here? Look at that. We're all 2-2. This is a 2-2 kind of show. So you decided, when did you decide to write a book?
A few months ago.
Really?
I mean, I wanted to write a book for a long time, but it just kind of all came together a few months ago. The title hit me, and then the chapters just hit me as far as what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted to share. And so I just I got on it and got it done in about a couple months.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
So there wasn't all that agonizing and you had to go to a cabin in the woods and, develop a drinking problem. And
No.
Those movies are all fake.
For me, yeah.
I was so looking forward to writing a book, too.
Maybe that's just how the Irish do it. Maybe that's just my people, the way we do books.
I got a lot of Irish in me, actually.
Oh, okay. So you can develop the drinking problem, go live in a cabin.
Yeah, I did have the
That'll
drinking
be the
problem.
Sequel.
I quit drinking. I wouldn't have got these books written.
So we can goof around with David a little more because
Absolutely.
He used to be our neighbor.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely. You guys are awesome.
First met David years ago. You came to the house we were renting, and you were like friends with the cable guy.
Yeah.
Or something.
With Doug Tooley. And
yeah.
So I was kind of doing some strategy for his business and kind of just getting the feel for how his operations went. And so came out with him to see what a normal call looked like and met you for the first time.
It was pretty funny. And then later we moved and I go out to take the trash out and I look over and I'm like, I know you. Yeah. Our house with the cable guys. Like, our lives keep intersecting.
Yeah, they do.
Which is very handy.
Yeah.
And then it turns out now our politics are all intersecting because
it's always nice with neighbors.
It is. It's very handy. It helps, you know, we can all watch each other's backs and our campaign signs. I actually had no trouble with campaign signs, although I can't say that for most campaigns. I mean, I know one candidate lost, like, I don't know, 1,000 signs.
Wow.
Which is against the law, actually. Not that anyone cares. I mean,
I saw a lot of
stealing cars,
ones.
I think, is like a misdemeanor now, so campaign signs are probably like... I'm not even sure if kids get grounded for that anymore. That's probably been taken off the list. But it's expensive, you know, and people complain a lot, you know, that campaigns, you know, they're always raising money and stuff. Well, you know, you destroy 1,000 campaign signs, and that's just the ones you know about. You got to replace them if you run again. It's silly. I mean, it's a silly way to do it.
I like that video that guy posted where he wired his campaign sign to electricity.
Ooh,
and the kid went up to grab it and got shot. Oh, yeah. That'll teach him.
My brother got in a high-speed chase with a guy who snatched it was years ago, but he lived down in the Bay Area, and these guys have been stealing his yard sign, you know, over and over for this campaign, and he was like, that's it. So he watched. He was a Green Beret, so.
Oh, snap.
Okay. So he goes immediately into maneuvers mode and hides behind his fence, and here come these kids, right, high school kids, they come by, woo-hoo! Snatch the sign. Oh, boy. Streets of Walnut Creek, it was a big speeding chase. Apparently they were on the wrong side of the road for part of it, and
oh gosh,
nobody went to jail, no one died, so that was actually good. I don't believe the sign was returned, but they didn't steal it again.
I bet,
actually.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I bet they never came back.
He was the guy with the mailbox that was in concrete like 15 feet down, so when they came by with the bat to knock the box off, because they did that to him too.
That's right.
They pretty much ripped the kid out.
Indestructible mailbox. That's right. I remember when he put that in.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and by way of topic, that's why you don't mess with our veterans.
That's exactly right.
So if you're listening to this show the first time, we're having it on Veterans Day. So that'll explain some of the musical choices. So thank you to all of our going into the military, so they're not necessarily active duty yet. They might be training. They might have signed up on a delayed entry program. The folks that are serving and the people who have served. So
yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We can't thank them enough, because honestly, at the end of the day, the only reason we get to have freedom of speech and discuss all of these things and our Bill of Rights and everything else remains secure is because somebody fought for it.
That's right.
And that wasn't necessary. It's like, I don't know, it's a minor percentage of our country. So, anyway, always something to consider. So, Veterans Day isn't just about hot dogs.
No.
I think we're trying to get back to the meaning of, like, Memorial Day, Veterans Day. But for a while there, I think we got carried away with, you know, the barbecue factor.
Yeah,
although
I agree.
Barbecues are fun, except not up here. Not up here. Now we have a big fire, so. And, I don't know.
Yeah. You let your hot dogs get out of control, and next thing you know, the neighbor's house
is on fire. Oh, you burned
your
entire city down. So the folks in Paradise are struggling. If you haven't been paying attention, that is the camp fire, because it was by Camp Road. Although Camp Fire, I'm sure when someone named it, thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, but I think they could have did better. Everybody that I've heard talk about it, I posted and shared about it on my page. And everybody said, well, some campfire got out of hand.
Exactly. That's what everybody thinks. Yeah. So it's kind of confusing. But anyway, all those things being said, so we'll cover some Veterans Day stuff. David's book. Okay, tell us the title.
Why I Couldn't Stay Silent. And the heading is One Man's Battle as a Black Conservative. I share in this book things that, I'll just put it to you this way. Obama will hate this book. Liberals will hate this book. The mainstream media will hate this book. So do you think you'll love it?
Yeah, more than likely.
No wonder we're friends. We haven't even read the book yet.
I knew I'd love it when I saw the picture of President Trump holding it up and smiling.
Yeah.
In the White House. We posted that picture online, by the way.
Yeah, it was an amazing, historic moment for our country, for everybody there, and for me personally.
That is fantastic. Everyone wanted to hear about all that stuff. I kept catching all these pictures. I thought, he's not our neighbor anymore, and I don't get to know anything. Dang it.
I have to get an appointment.
Get him on the radio.
Anytime.
All right, so we're going to take a quick little break here and celebrate some capitalism that will be unceremoniously severed after the program. So we're going to celebrate a lot right now, this minute. So thank you to all the people that sponsor radio, because that's fantastic and amazing. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Your neighborhood, they take
This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining. Of the red, white, and blue.
Oh. There you go. Happy Veterans Day, huh?
You know, Toby Keith couldn't get anybody to record his song, so he started his own recording company.
Really?
Yeah.
Too controversial?
I think so. I'm not sure why it was, but he said, heck with it, I'll do my own. And look what happened.
Kind of interesting. I found another guy whose name eludes me, which is because he didn't become famous. They wouldn't record his stuff either. Super, you know, pro-American, really kind of in your face.
I don't know if this fits, but I just saw a video of Johnny Cash being asked if burning the flag should be illegal.
Oh. Yeah.
And he said, if they burn my flag, I'll shoot them.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I did have some Johnny Cash options, and it was like,
Oh, I should have waited.
No, I didn't pick them because it was kind of like, it's like a bridge too far. You know what I mean? Great song, but when you start looking at, like, pulling 30 seconds or a minute out, and then you're like, that really makes it sound bad. Like, you need the other verses. It's like part of a story.
Right.
Yeah, and that has kind of gone a little bit by the wayside. So the flag thing, you know, finally. Good Lord.
I'm still not watching football.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Well,
we never did.
I was sad. I couldn't, you know, bail on them.
I bailed.
Did you?
Yeah. I talk about that in the book, too.
Good.
Yeah. And why I think Americans bailed. And why I think that it was actually a really good thing for our country, because Sundays used to be about family. Mm-hmm. Used to be about church.
Mm-hmm.
Church, family, God. And then all of a sudden, America, I mean, not all of a sudden, I think, but you look at it, and it was 100% devoted, in most part, by the majority of the country to football. You know, and the guys doing what they wanted to do and leaving the family out a lot of times. It was like a guy day, and
but
the weekend.
When
is...
we were kids, you never had any kind of like a sports game, like school, you know, or
city. School didn't even do it.
Or city league, or any of that stuff. Like you didn't have a tournament. I have a friend, and this has been maybe 15 years ago, and her kids. She was always gone on Thanksgiving. They had tournament soccer tournaments on Thanksgiving, and I thought, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I said. Well, when else do they? Every Sunday, they had games and practices, and yeah, that's all kind of gone by the wayside, which is obviously
sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Okay, so growing up, your household, did you guys talk politics?
No, we didn't really talk politics, and I talk about it in the book. My dad is black, my mom is white, and so having family functions with the white side of my family, I could enjoy how they did things and the kind of food they cooked and the kind of music they listened to. But it was completely different than when I would have family functions with the black side of my family. Completely different food, completely different music, but both still very American.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about that in the book. But I also wasn't raised real political. My mom always just kind of talked to me about and it really didn't even start till probably I was in my 30s when she would just let me know to really pay attention to how people voted. And not listen to what they say, but look at their voting history and see if that's what I stood for. So she encouraged me to do my own research, which is something I think is massively missing from majority of Americans that monolithically vote.
Yeah, people don't do their own homework anymore.
No. And unfortunately, in the black community, when you've got 85-90% plus that are all voting, you know, just blind allegiance to the Democrat Party without even thinking about it, it's like, wait a minute, what are your values? What do you hold dear in life? And then is that...
And is that lined up?
Yeah. Is that establishment supporting your values? And is that something that you want to support? So I dig into that in the book and really try to break down and get people, encourage people to do their own research and really look at where they're at, what they believe, and then who are they voting for and why.
Yeah, because that's your subtitle, One Man's Battle as a Black Conservative.
Yeah, it's a battle out there.
And that's a fairly unpopular place to be. I mean, I kind of don't have to tell you that, but, you know, just in case our listeners haven't thought about it. I mean, that kind of puts you at odds in a lot of cases.
Well, in most, in pretty much any, I don't care what your race is, being a conservative nowadays is almost dangerous.
Yeah, being a conservative, period, but I'm definitely the anomaly when most blacks don't vote conservative or support Republican values. And it's not even that it's just a partisan thing, but the Republican values and platform is a platform that I stand for. When the Democrat platform is for abortion and they push policies that are going to give freebies to individuals that I think specifically target black communities, if there's no father in the home, that's been a strategic implementation of a plan to take fathers out of the home, I believe. And one of the number one risk factor for black kids is fatherlessness in the home. The percentages skyrocket.
It's
from
huge.
Crime to high school dropouts to the murder rates. When you've got, you know, 90% of black men that are killed in America are killed at the hands of other black men, you've got a problem. And you've got to look at where that came from. And it really looks, the studies really look at fatherlessness in the home as the number one missing ingredient for a well-rounded child to grow up in a black home.
Well, you wind up, you know, if you live in a big city, you wind up stuck in the projects with no way out.
Well,
and I think most kids are looking for, even if they don't want to admit it, they want somebody to look up to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so who do they gravitate towards when they don't have a father in the home?
Yeah, the biggest, baddest dude that's got everything that you want, but got it the wrong way.
Yep.
And that's what they do, and that's
gang
what
member.
They follow. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when you go out and you talk to people and this all this stuff comes up, do people try to justify the other side of that? Because that makes perfect sense.
You know, normally they don't have the answers to the other side. They normally just have their own opinion. And that their opinion's not really backed by any research or facts. So when somebody has a problem with me, like I'm wearing a black Make America Great Again hat that a friend of mine made for me. And so I like wearing this through cities. I wear it through San Francisco Airport. And I get some looks that are just like baffling, like it doesn't make any sense. A black guy wearing a MAGA hat, I didn't think that existed. And I just give him a big smile. I have nothing more than seeing those faces and giving a big old smile. How you doing? How are you?
Do you think that the influence of the Democrats is starting to wane a little bit in the black community? I mean, I would
absolutely
think with the jobs numbers and all of that, I would think they would stand back and say, hey, you know what? This guy's doing stuff for us. It's doing something right.
But it's
absolutely
bizarre. You saw it in Congress during the State of the Union when they were talking about the record low
black unemployment.
Yeah.
And black caucus, sat on their butts. Sat on their black butts.
Were you just?
I was furious.
I bet you're just pissed off.
I was furious because what they see is they see themselves losing power,
right?
And they see that their significance dwindles when they don't have a victimization to preach to black communities against a Republican president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
a power thing. It's totally the power.
Absolutely,
thing. They're going to lose their base and lose their job.
Yeah.
You know, and they see that.
Yep.
Interesting. And so when you go to other, do you wind up doing a lot of speaking? I mean, I haven't been actually stalking you. You know, I just happened to see the photo online. So I didn't go back and do a full workup on you.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're
I'm
good.
Not sure where you've been, what you've been doing. But I knew you
no
were
No dossier?
I knew you've not. Yeah, I know.
She's got one on me.
Right? Ooh, I bet.
The Fusion GPS guys were all busy. They didn't have time.
That's good.
See, Bill, I can't even track him because he leaves his phone at home all the time.
Nice.
That's key.
Yeah, it is. It's key.
Oops.
Yeah, so if you're going to track Bill, it looks like he's sitting in his chair. Yeah. No, not really.
You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, because I'll call him and I'm like,
She'll call and she'll hear her phone ringing.
And I'm like, he's gone again with
you
no
got
phone.
I remember that.
Yeah, don't call Bill. I told him I've got his number on my medic alert. I'm like, all right, I got to pick somebody else for my medic alert. This is ridiculous. I got to buy new little emblems. I'm going to die. It's 10 o'clock at night. I know he's home. He doesn't answer. I'm like, anything could be happening. Where are you?
Oh, you had your sound off.
Ah, Mr. Magoo, here's so much work. God love you. Is it a junior thing?
What's that?
Is it a junior thing?
No, I don't know. No, I used to have more of a streak of that in me.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I'm always on the quest for meaning. That's like my sub. That's my sub goal here.
I don't know. I just live on a telephone all day long.
Right.
You know, and when I get home,
I
put it down, and I don't want to talk on a phone.
Yeah, it's a good way to make sure you don't.
Yeah.
We all need to unplug.
So what do you think will reach people in those really entrenched? I mean, you look at, like, downtown Chicago. Come on. I mean, those guys are dying in record numbers.
Yeah.
You would think
terrific.
Somebody would step up and say, all right, this is crazy. But they don't.
Mm-mm. Well, we're trying
Any ideas?
Yeah, we're trying to reach the inner cities around the country. I'm not sure if you know who Candace Owens is. She's the director of communications for Turning Point USA.
I've heard her.
So I was part of the launch for Blexit. So it stands for Black Exit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to target.
Okay,
it's
I did stalk you a little. I saw that. Yeah.
It's not just for the black community. Anybody can support this movement. But what we're really working to do is have rallies throughout major cities across America and invite all black conservatives, period, to come, have some amazing speakers come, but then speak to the black community about policies, about things that matter for black communities. Not try to talk politics or try to champion one political voice or another.
Yeah, not like candidates or something like that.
Right.
Ideas.
Right, because if a person realizes the policies are what's important and who's then going to enforce and push towards making those policies better for the black community, then it just makes sense to then follow the candidates that are going to enforce those policies. So we're trying. That's that launched 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. It's why I was there. Mm-hmm. It's part of that Turning Point USA Young Black Leadership Summit. I was a speaker at the event.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had about 400 black conservatives from around the country.
Jesse Lee Peterson?
I'm not sure if he was there or not.
He has been, like, hardcore on the dads in the home. He was really involved with the early phase of the Tea Party movement, and he was like the lone black conservative at that time.
I'd love to connect with him.
I was at a thing in San Juan Capistrano where he, it was fairly small.
Well, I think we did a show with him, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
But there was like a leadership summit thing, so I went, and there were probably like 30 people there from the Tea Party around the country, and Jesse Lee Peterson was one of the speakers because it was kind of near him, and he came up there. I am not kidding you. It was in a... like a hotel conference room, but we're talking a conference room where, you know, you could only fit 30 people. It wasn't a big giant ballroom. And they had massive protesters out front. They just dogged that guy day and night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's nice.
It is a battle.
Other folks are coming to the rescue.
Yeah.
It's
Larry Elder was there at this one.
Oh,
Ben Carson was there. We had some pretty amazing speakers show up. Stacey Dash was there.
Ben Carson got busy, and now we don't see him anymore. they hooked him into the cabinet, and now he's gone.
Yeah, he's got things
to do. Is he a pretty nice guy in
Absolutely.
Real life? He seems like a very, very quiet, personable.
Very personable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
More about the White House when we return, because now everyone's curious about that. So here you go. Here's a little inner city song for you I found in my travels. I forget who it is. Oh, the Rainmakers. It's a flashback.
Bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. Right.
lines. Sleep in peace tonight, American soldier.
Thanks for that. All the people who are serving have served. All our veterans, happy Veterans Day. If you're listening to this at a different time, you might be thinking we're insane because we keep switching almost topics, but just happens to be the 11th of November on the day we originally recorded. So we're here with David Harris Jr. And actually, the little blurb, is it the back of your book? Yep. As a black man, a conservative, a father, a husband, and a Christian, what I witnessed during the presidential election of 2016 caused me to erupt with emotion over what was transpiring.
Absolutely.
That's pretty subtle. Or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not
it was
so subtle.
It was my first video. I didn't have a public figure page. I'm on Facebook, David J. Harris Jr. Actually, on my Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, it's David J. Harris Jr. But I didn't have a page yet. It was right after the third debate between Trump and Hillary. I had a couple thousand Facebook friends, and I was so distraught, furious, and anxious over where I saw this country going based on these two candidates that I just got on my Facebook, went live, ranted for about 13 minutes, and the video just blew up. I wound up going over 400,000 views, and the messages that I got, one of the biggest things that I saw that these two candidates wanted to take our country. Besides how Hillary kept deflecting everything that had to do with anything that had to do with her emails or any of the controversy surrounding her, she would deflect it. Donald Trump, his biggest stance and the biggest difference to me, and even if that was the only difference, was his stance on abortion. And that he's very pro-life. And Hillary wanted to expand partial birth abortion. In some states, you can get an abortion at 8 months. A mother can't 8 months pregnant.
Oh.
And it's just, it's so barbaric, it's evil, dismembering a baby, who could even think of doing that? And Hillary was a staunch supporter of that. So I just ranted, I shared, and I had messages flooding in, support, and a lot of messages from Latinos, from women, from Asians, from black, from white, that were Democrats. They said their whole family were Democrats and that they were going to vote for Hillary, but what I said triggered something in them to say, you know what? He's right. I have to vote for life. So I have to vote for Trump, even if my whole family doesn't talk to me anymore or they disown me, so to speak, which a lot of people, that's how it is in the family. You know, you go against the family like that, and it's seen as just an act of, you know, betrayal, and you're cut off. So from,
yeah, it's all free speech until you get to the family.
Yeah, right? So I just, from a lot of the positive messages I got, and I got a lot of hate mail. It's funny that I talk about this in the book, the hate mail I got, the hate messages I got from people was at least 98%. I'd almost like to say 100%, but I might have missed a few messages. But it was 98% from blacks. Maybe 90% blacks and 8% from Hispanics.
You were a traitor.
Yeah, I was. I was called every race, you know, baiting a name in the book. Coon, Uncle Tom, Porch Monkey, stuff I wouldn't say on the air. I was called everything.
Like, how are you allowed to think for yourself and make a different decision?
Right, absolutely. So from that, I knew I was ruffling some feathers.
You're like, I must be getting close.
Yeah, and from the positive messages, I said, well, I've just got to start a page so that I can actually try to reach more people. And it's grown pretty well, almost at 500,000 followers on my Facebook page. Still get flooded with messages of support. And I just hop on. Now I have a daily show at 4 o'clock Pacific time, Monday through Friday, where I talk about current events, social issues, politics. I'm always supporting my president. And I'm trying to be the alternative news source for the mainstream media that just wants to propagate the people.
Yeah, see, propaganda is always a bad thing, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. Difficult.
So we have Lori, who's been our hostage on hold here for like 5 minutes. She's got a question or a comment for you. I'm not sure which. Hey, Lori.
Hey, good morning.
Come back out of the hostage situation there.
You know what, though? It's okay.
At least you can listen. You know.
I am so grateful you have David Harris Jr. on, because I know locally we need to have far more coverage. If I can compliment you, David, I first knew of you or came across your work back in, I believe it was 2014, at the world record attendance at the Board of Supervisors when Dane Wigington was there covering, obviously, the issue of geoengineering, and you did some great interviews. So I would like to know today your opinions on the Diamond and Silk dummy crafts and the Kermit Gosnell film, which I saw before it left town, I believe, And if you could share locally any frustrations, like if you can participate at an occasional, I don't know, Patriots meeting or a meetup with Gregory Cheadle. He ran for Congress, also another conservative black man that's dealing with what it's like to live here locally. And if you want to share any further, any of your Bethel experiences, and just kind of flesh out a little bit more, because I absolutely want to follow you and support you in exposing, because the whole thing with Candace exposing the Blexit and your trip to D.C., I know Record Searchlight covered you back in October 19th, I believe it was. So I'll listen off air, and I just really I praise and commend you for taking all of the heat, for putting together your truth, your thoughts, your experience, your education, because I know Gregory Cheadle took a lot with talking about Colin Kaepernick. So I'm not trying to go off on too many rabbit holes, but I just want to, like, flush out. There's so much to cover, and I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. I really appreciate that. I appreciate your support. Thank you for reaching out. I do remember when I was in that the town hall meeting with Dane, and interviewed him. I believe I remember meeting you as well. So anyway, just appreciate your support. And I think your first question you asked me was the Diamond and Silk movie. I went to the premiere in D.C. about a month ago. I thought it was awesome. I love those ladies. Love everything that they're doing. They're hilarious. They bring comedy and truth to the people. And they're a wrecking ball to that same political agenda and machine that just says all blacks have to vote Democrat, and, you know, that just wants to paint Donald Trump a racist. And it's just, they pick that stuff apart. So I've been watching those ladies and supporting and loving those ladies for a long time. They invited me to that premiere and loved the movie. Definitely should get it. I think you can order it on their website. I think the second question was the other movie I have not seen.
Now on the late-term abortions.
Yeah, I have not seen that yet.
I haven't seen it either, but I heard it was
amazing.
Like, it kind of took your breath away.
Yeah, I heard it was.
It's so shocking, so stunning. And I know Veritas and Dinesh D'Souza and all these other things that are exposing the true realm and core thread of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I mean, this just has to be a solid wake-up call for everyone who's just been under the illusion that they're under the JFK long-ago days of a label Democratic Party. It is so dramatically shifted. So I just value that people keep patiently to the some extent, and then as earnest as you can without, you know, smacking someone to wake up. We are in dire trouble here in California, let alone the United States. So I'll continue to listen off air, David. I just adore you and thank you and bless your family and protect you.
We're gonna go lock the door.
Thank you so much. Well, we need more people like you using your voices and supporting us that are championing these causes. But yeah, Dinesh D'Souza is amazing. He invited me to that.
Everyone should have colors
premiere.
Like, how nice was that?
Yeah, that was awesome. Absolutely, it was so good. Dinesh's movie, Death of America, absolutely amazing. Everybody should see that or buy that DVD.
That was really good. We just saw
two, 3 nights ago. Yeah.
So good.
Death of a Nation.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of it where you go, was that real? And then
at the end, he's
got all the citations and stuff.
He does all his research. Yeah, I love Dinesh. Amazing individual. So I'm not sure what else. I forget.
I think it's amazing in this day and age. I mean, when you know, they're all hung up on, you know, the global warming and all that, you know, and so science, blah, blah, blah. And yet babies aren't people until they're born. It's like, wow, really?
Yeah, but you go to jail for killing a bald eagle egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
yeah, and you also go to jail if you
kill a pregnant woman.
Yeah, kill a pregnant woman. Then it's a baby.
It's a double homicide.
Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
So it's okay to have a late-term abortion. Mm-hmm.
But life on Mars is one little piece of bacteria, and it's life.
Oh, my God. That's the best one ever.
We found life. A piece of bacterial whatever.
It could have come on our shoes, but we don't know.
But no, growing baby in the womb with arms and legs and fingers.
Well, besides that, if they're born early, they live.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, big shocker. I had to square that with Sears the other day. It took them 7 months to get me a washing machine. I shared with them I could have made a person in that much time.
You could have.
So I told them I could have made a person before you got me this washing machine. Came on Friday, by the way, just, you know, for anyone who's listening. My clothes are spinning at high speed now. It's so exciting.
Nice.
My whole house, my closet's excited. You can just feel the happiness in there. So, found a fun song for your for your little rant there, your earlier rant. So let's play it. And then we'll have a little break. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You save the whales, you save the seals, you save whatever's cute and squeal. But you kill that thing that's in the womb. Would not want no baby boom. Good, bad, laugh and scorn. Blame yourself for kitty porn. Convenience is the law you keep, and your compassion's angled deep. Who you trying to kill, kill? Rather than a fine philosophy. You're trying to kill, kill. But your bottom line still says me, me, me. I got your head together now. Got a way that's better now. You're trying to kill, kill. We're in this. You're marching, all the streets are full. A two-bit closet radical. No time to check the end result. Expediency's your catapult. Convictions make your skin to crawl. You act like you're above it all. You say faith is a crutch for a mind that's closed. You guzzle your crutch and shove it up your nose. To my left-wing band with their head in the sand.
There you go. If you want to make your book into a musical, you could use that one.
I was thinking of making it into a short film, so we'll see how well the book does, and then see if I can do raise enough sponsors to turn into a Dinesh D'Souza-type short film.
Yeah, because you think about all the people in the country. I mean, we're really, I guess, led to believe that everything is divided by color.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But it isn't.
No.
I mean, it's...
One side pushes division, color, gender. The other side says jobs, create security, safety, prosperity.
Yeah. Go live your own life.
Yeah.
Which, I can't believe that's not popular.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, hey, we'll leave you alone. You can go live your own life. It's like, oh, I don't know why that is such a scary idea.
Because really, you're a hater.
Because you have to do stuff, I guess.
So you went to D.C.
I was in D.C. 2 weeks ago. I think this is 2 weeks ago this weekend.
But you've been there a bunch, huh?
Well, I was there a month ago for Diamond and Silks event. I've been to D.C. I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 times throughout the year.
You were there for the inauguration too, huh?
I was there for the inauguration.
Didn't we talk about tickets?
What's that?
Yeah, because we talked about tickets.
Yeah,
you were back there for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. The that was really funny. To sidestep, we'll get back to the D.C. thing, but I had just started my page beginning of 2017 and going to the inauguration. You know, all the pictures of the inauguration were showing that there was hardly any people there. You know, all the mainstream media kept showing pictures. Nobody's showing up. There's nobody there. You know, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Because Antifa had the roads blocked off.
Oh.
My wife and I went to the entrance we were supposed to go to. You know, you've got to ride the subway and then get out and walk, and we're supposed to be walking through a block, and then you get to the park area that's in front of the White House, and Antifa had it blocked off, arm in arm, wall to wall,
masks and the whole show.
No, they didn't have any masks. So I mean, I don't think back then they weren't as violent, so they weren't wearing masks. They were just showing up to demonstrate. But I think they were bussed in. I'm pretty sure we know who was behind that, Soros. But they were arm in arm and linked arm in arm and wouldn't let anybody through. So my wife's done up in a full gown, and you know, I'm in a suit, and I could just bust through. I'm 250 plus pounds, 6'3" and a half. I could just bust through these people if I wanted to, but I didn't want to do that and then leave my wife behind me and have her have to deal with that too. So we literally had to walk 8 blocks down the road to find another entrance, and I tried to get in again. And they just wouldn't let us through. So I walked all the way down to the end of the line. There's this little lady there. And it made for a great video. It did a couple million views on Facebook. But I just figured I'd ask them some questions. So I said, I was like, why are you protesting? Why are you trying to stop people from getting the inauguration? You know, Trump's a racist. Trump's a fascist. We're anti-fascist. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a problem with radical Islamic terrorism on our country, on our land, in our country? And she just went completely silent. She wouldn't even answer the question. I was like, this is really interesting. So I walked down the line and asked somebody else that flipped me off as soon as they saw the camera. And I said, let me just ask you a question. Do you feel like there's a problem with radical Islamic terrorism in our country? And back then, there were more stuff happening, you know, that were terrorist related in our country than there is now. Thank you, Donald Trump. But but I asked her the same question, and she just ignored me. She wouldn't answer. Three people, I did it a third time, and all of them. It was like they had been coached to not even talk about it or not even say anything about it because they had no response. They had no objection. They had no. They had nothing to say.
Well, the truth was, they probably had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah, or that. Yeah.
Or that was their next gig.
Yeah.
They didn't want to mess up their promotion.
Yeah, very interesting.
They recruit out of Antifa, I'm sure.
So we finally got in, but we were about 20 minutes late. So all the mainstream media were showing pictures of like 10 and 15 minutes early were empty. Well, by the time the police made everybody disperse,
I was just
going to
ask you that. Where were the D.C. police?
They were standing around. They weren't doing anything.
Really?
Yeah.
They let them block people from getting through.
They let them block us. They did.
Yep. Wow.
And then finally, like 12:05, if I remember correctly, they would let us in. And they made a move. And we just all flooded in there.
Wow.
And that was amazing. That was historic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and then they, I know that I heard from other people who were there that they were out like on the sidewalks harassing people while they were leaving, and for the better part of that day, and then the next day was the
Women's March
pink hat situation.
Yeah,
and
I went down right in the middle of that.
Yeah, and that got all ugly. Yeah, how'd that work out?
I would, they would be shouting shame, shame, shame. Anytime they saw somebody in a MAGA hat or somebody, you know, carrying anything that supported Trump, they would just shout shame at people. And I asked this one lady, I was like, why are you shaming somebody? And it's just like, why would you wish shame on somebody? And each person I asked that to,
it was crickets.
It was like, it's what we're all just doing. It's just mindless. It's like this.
That's what we're all doing.
It's not okay. Why would you want to wish shame on somebody or shout at somebody to make them feel intimidated, threatened, or feel bad? It's like they're just voicing their opinion. They're just supporting who they believe in.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. Then I had another good video just to end off the Women's March. My wife and I were down there, and she tries to stay incognito. She doesn't like to get in the middle of anything. But
she's pretty quiet because I have to say the entire time we live next door to you, I do not believe I actually ever spoke to her. She doesn't actually speak. She only talks to you.
Yeah. She's pretty quiet.
Yeah, she is pretty quiet.
She's always doing stuff. But we were on the subway heading back to our hotel, and there was a young girl telling her story to somebody else on the subway that they were at the Women's March because they just weren't really aware of what exactly it was. It was really a leftist, Trump-bashing, divisive, angry march.
They didn't know that going in.
No.
I think it was the retooling of Hillary's victory party, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they were trying to. So the little girl's there in a Trump hat. And the mom was like, hey, let's just go down to the Women's March. And they berated this little 12-year-old girl. They shouted at her. They bullied her.
Didn't they take her hat?
They didn't take her hat, but they told them they couldn't march. And the mom's like, isn't this a march for women? Well, why can't we march? And they're like, this is not a march for you. We're not supporting what you support. It's like, what is that? It's supposed to be about women. Well, that exposed exactly what it was really about. It wasn't about women at all. It was about radical feminism that's anti-conservative values. And it was just an anti-Trump march is what it was. So I did a video with that. That got Milo shared that one, and that one got lots of millions of views.
So what did the little girl, what was her take on the whole thing?
She thought she was disgusted by it. She was disturbed by it. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. So good for her and for them that they showed exactly what they really are about to that young, impressionable young girl that actually still, you know, supported Trump and believed in what he was doing for our country. It just reinforced.
She lived in a country where she was allowed to have her own opinion.
Free speech.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, fascinating. About 10 years ago, I met a lady. We were talking about voter fraud in a large group, and she came up to me afterward, and she wasn't that old. I mean, she wasn't a kid, but she wasn't 90 years old, right? And she says, well, I just want to tell you, I voted in the Kennedy election. I used to live in Cook County in Chicago, and my uncle was part of the mob. And she goes, I voted in the Kennedy election. And I'm like, you're either incredibly well-preserved or you were pretty young. How old are you? She goes, I was 5.
She voted?
She was 5. They gave all the kids money, like cash money. They gave them money, and then they gave them a little piece of paper, and they said, go in, and I don't know if you punched it. You probably punched back then because I think we all did. You had to punch these out, and if you don't do the right ones, we're going to know. And her brother, she said, they were like, we can punch whatever we want. Look, they gave us the money. And he goes, that would be a really bad idea. I mean, they were like deadly serious. But she goes, yeah, I voted in an election at 5.
What's changed?
So, holy cow.
So, you look at that. But it changed her. I guess my point
for her
is not only was her voter fraud a long time ago, but that never left her, made a huge impression. Mm. So I think what these people don't understand is they're literally training their opposition.
Yeah, they're creating the next revolutionaries.
Probably mm-hmm. not their best plan.
No.
Okay, so you're our hostage for the next hour since you're already here. So we've got about a minute before we have to take a little break for the news. What are we going to talk about next hour?
How about your trip to D.C.?
I was going to say.
I couldn't help it.
I
wanted to hear the Trump story.
Bill wanted to hear that at the beginning. We keep dogging him.
Not intentionally.
People at home are
rabbit
like,
trails,
give
rabbit
Bill
trails.
The story about D.C.
Hey, here's your book back.
Oh, wow. Ouch, hurts.
Epic fail.
You're lost.
No, we're going to talk about that because I think that's an awesome picture of the president
DC.
Holding your book.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that had to be just a huge thrill.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't faint
or
cry or something. I was just like,
Yeah, that's bad.
I was live on my Facebook feed, so it was. I actually did.
Yeah,
I walked back to my wife.
One of the choices.
I walked back to my wife. I showed her the video, and I teared up, started crying.
Yeah.
I did.
So awesome.
Like, look what happened.
Yeah, I did.
All right, well, we got another hour. We got a lot to talk about.
Well, I had another friend who was back there in D.C. last week on a thing with their county, with the county boards. And he said, Trump walks in the room and it just like sucks all the air out of the room. He said, it's amazing. Just
commanding presence.
Yeah. Said the energy and everything was just awesome. And
yes.
The guy like has all his staff running all over the place because he's just like rewriting everything as he goes.
Wow.
It sounds like a joyride. So we're here with our guest, David Harris Jr., and his book, Why I Couldn't Stay Silent. We hope you'll go look that up at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back right after the news. And welcome back to the second hour of We the People. And, of course, we were here the first hour, so we don't have that breathless...
yeah, we've relaxed.
That hysterical breathless
sound. We've settled in.
That you so love about this program. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer up on Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, and they do everything tractors. So if you need a new tractor, need your old tractor worked on, need parts, go in and see them. They'll do a great job for you. And their phone number is 226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
And we do have a whole lot of other people who sponsor the show and kind of just do that as individuals, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that a whole bunch.
Extraordinarily helpful, so we thank you for that. Any pitching in is always fantastic. So don't want to leave them out, though. But if you want more information about that, if you'd like, actually, to give suggestions, provided they're productive, we like productive suggestions. And actually, people are really nice. I mean, our phone numbers, our cell numbers are right there on the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. Got email and phone number right there. And, Except for all the telemarketers. If you're turning us all over to telemarketers, maybe that's how they're doing it. But I don't ever get people who just call and hang up or, you know, do things that are weird. So it says a lot about the public, actually. We would love to hear from you if you have ideas for programs, if you've got people you've heard on the radio, seen them on TV, saw a little two-minute interview, you're like, ah, I wanted to learn the rest. So send those folks to us, and we'll get them on the air. Because people do like to talk about what their expertise is and what they're passionate about. So it just so happens our neighbor, our long-lost neighbor, David, who moved across town, has written a book, and he went to the White House.
Yeah, he did.
And he did also.
We didn't talk about that.
I did?
Yeah.
I like that. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Good one, Bill.
Yeah.
Way to pitch it.
Yeah.
In case you just tuned in, Bill tried last hour to actually get us to talk about that, and we kept derailing him. Good job, David. So David J. Harris, Jr., you can find him at davidharrisjr.com. No J in that one.
Either one will actually take you there. My tag for all social media handles is David J. Harris, Jr.
Nice. And so the book is Why I Couldn't Stay Silent, One Man's Battle as a Black Conservative. And that sort of says more than just the, small amount of words.
There's a lot in that, right?
You're like, oh, you're doing that.
Yes, I am.
That must be really hard.
You must have some friends.
You must be incredibly popular on the one hand and then incredibly unpopular on the other hand.
I don't read the hate mail.
The hate mail sometimes is kind of interesting because you look at it and you go, really? How did you arrive at that?
Yeah, true. I try not to read the hate mail, I got to say.
You realize that common sense isn't common and that logic isn't actually part of everyone's makeup.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have discovered that.
Yeah, it's just tough. So let's see the little blurb from the back of your book. I had read a little part of it last hour, but to continue on with that, all of the negativity and deceit of the 2016 election seemed to be casting a shadow over what I believed were the most important issues about our country's future. Why I Couldn't Stay Silent tells the story about a young black man's pursuit to shine light and make sense out of the darkness that was overshadowing our country. This book may challenge everything you currently believe about racism in our country, which is awesome because that is a platform you can use and cause you to reflect on the solutions that I present as possible answers to how we could achieve greatness together as united people. And just by way of pitch, I actually have the book in my hand so I can tell you, for all you non-readers or like, oh, it's a book, yay, you know, it's not even an entertaining book maybe you're thinking, but no, it's only 130 pages long. It's really very smallish. What is it, 5x8?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's like 5x8, so it's not huge. It's not super thick. It's not in tiny, tiny print. The chapters are short and catchy. Okay, what's your favorite one? Just out of curiosity. Since we know going to the White House isn't one of them.
I have several that I really love, but I actually really love the chapter that my wife did. It's just a few pages. Actually, Bill just read it and said he really liked that. She had a moment during the 2016 election race that she couldn't stay silent, and I won't spoil it, but she almost wasn't here on this earth. She almost didn't arrive because of the choice her mother was about to make.
Oh.
And so she came out, and she'd never publicly shared it. She shared it on my page. It was shared, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of times. But there was a miracle that came about from her sharing her testimony and her story that's in this chapter. And that's just like, I mean, it's absolutely just amazing. So I love and adore my bride. But I think that's probably, I think, the shortest chapter, too. It's just a few pages with the miracle as well. But it's amazing. Amazing part of the book.
Well, I just read it during the break. And it's you got to read it.
There are a lot of stories like that. And unfortunately, I don't think they're told enough. So
true.
Thank her for that.
I will.
And that's another good reason to write a book. You get to put things out there that people don't normally see.
I think one of my other favorite chapters is on, it's called The Scandal-Free Barack.
I saw
that. He continues to, champion himself as a scandal-free president. And so I outline with plenty of sources to back up everything, 18 of his largest scandals that the mainstream media just swept underneath the rug and most people have no clue about.
Any one of which they'd be impeaching Trump for.
Absolutely.
Actually, a fun thing with that chapter would be to make your own list and then compare them.
Yeah, right?
Because I was just like, ooh, do I want a record? Maybe I should make my own list and see how many of them I was into. And then before we skip her, your forward is by Candace Owens. So
absolutely.
Let's give her a plug.
Huge shout out to Candace Owens, Director of Communications for Turning Point USA. She is just the right individual at this time to be a young, beautiful, black conservative that knows her stuff. She's very knowledgeable. She reads and researches a lot, and she is an absolute just wrecking ball. I was talking to her yesterday, and she said that somebody was asked Maxine Waters about Candace Owens, and she did not want to say anything negative. It was like she didn't want to get into that fight. She just said, oh, you know what? Well, the young lady can choose to believe what she wants to believe. That's just fine.
That's probably a smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. She didn't want Candace on her.
No, she would have got chewed up.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. So amazing young woman, wrote the foreword for my book, and just launched Blexit, blexit.com. I'm a part of that, and believe we'll be on the board
as well.
And what
does that
mean about that.
For everybody who doesn't do acronym?
Blacks exiting the monolithic thought that has kept us in bondage to a plantation thinking. I mean, that's my own words, but that's what the goal is just to wake Black America up and say, what issues do you value, and what policies should we be supporting in order to see the change that needs to take place in Black communities around the country? So it's for everybody, and anybody can support us, but it's specifically targeting the unfortunately completely lopsided a sway of the Black community towards the Democrat Party.
But the Black community is not wholly in endorsing that stance, are they?
You know what? The approval rating for Donald Trump among Blacks was 7% when he came in. And I think the last Rasmussen poll I saw is 39%. So there's been an absolute pendulum sway. It's swinging, and I think it's going to continue to swing. When you've got historic low Black unemployment, historic low ever recorded Black, Mexican, Asian, and women, 60-year low for women, and a 400% increase in Black-owned businesses in the last year, the mainstream media can't continue to just to use the same, you know, violent, divisive rhetoric. They just can't do it.
Yeah, Donald Trump's out of control. Something's got to be done.
Yeah, impeach him. Why? Because he's bringing too many jobs back here.
Well, he was right when he said, you know, the winning thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're gonna be sick of winning. I'm not sick of winning yet.
Hey, that could be your next book. I'm not sick of winning.
Hey, it might be.
You better get there before Donald Trump gets here.
Are you sick of winning yet?
That'll be his book after he's president. They never got sick of the winning.
That's right.
They got sick of me, but they didn't get sick of winning.
That's good.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest. And we have now cheated Bill out of one more segment.
We'll get there next.
They don't call me a foil for nothing.
Right now, they're out there betting. Will Bill learn about the DC trip? We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People.
Came undone when got around to gotten guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God's great and guns are good, you really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them.
Sky. It reads, it's yours.
And thank you to all of our active duty military, our veterans, our people that are thinking about signing up, that are maybe high school students that have registered early and are waiting to graduate. I know my brother did that. So thank you to all of those people, because you guys are the reason we get to have shows like this.
That's right.
You're the reason that the other guys get to try to make us silent. All right, it's all your fault that we have all this fighting.
Freedom isn't free.
Otherwise, everybody would be told what to say. Like Bill.
Yeah. You know, we were talking during the break, and I didn't realize it, but David went to D.C.
What?
More than once.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Has he been recently?
I think so, because I saw a picture of Donald Trump holding his book.
Stop.
And when I when
oh my gosh,
when
it's
I
on
talked
the web
to
page.
The, when I talked to the president about that, he said there was quite a story behind it, and he really wanted David to tell it. So
when the president called you this morning?
Well, it was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely amazing. I was there for Turning Point USA's Young Black Leadership Summit. I was one of the speakers, and part of the event, they partnered with the White House. Donald Trump wanted all of us to go to the White House. So we had about 400 black conservatives that all went into the White House. I was hoping that I would be able to get close enough to give him my book. I had written it for him and had a little 5-second elevator pitch. I wanted to tell him in case it happened. I was able to get the book through. I'm not sure if they would have let it through or not, but I was selected with Brandon Tatum. He's director of urban engagement for Turning Point USA, and Rob Smith, that also does some amazing things and is on Fox News and different stations all the time, to actually speak to the press. So they escorted us around all of the normal and right through all the normal
all the things that filter out all the idiots from CNN?
Well, no, just all the, you know, as they, 400 of us are going to the White House. So we had all these checkpoints and checkpoints and checkpoints.
Oh, I bet.
So we had an agent, a Secret Service guy with us, just kind of walk us. And he may have actually just been a White House guy, but he was just walking us right through everything. Like, these three are with me, and just walk through.
Nice.
So that was really cool. But then by the time I got in talking to the press and I went in, the room where Donald Trump was going to be meeting us and speaking was already full of everybody.
Mm.
So there were, you know, 30 people deep, arm to arm, from the rope all the way back to where I walked in at. So I was like, crap, how am I going to get to the front?
Yeah, now you're in the room with your book, except you're clear in the back of the room.
Yeah, yeah. And my wife and daughters are there. And so I was like, well, I was like, okay, I guess it's not going to happen. And something just triggered me and said, no, you need to go try. You need to try to make it happen. So I tried to go around the cameramen, not going to happen, around behind them, too much equipment and stairs and ladders and stuff. So I just kind of got as close as I could, and then I was just kind of like, okay, God, if it's going to happen, I guess you're going to have to make it happen. And coming right along behind me was a press guy with a cameraman behind him, and he's like, excuse me, folks, excuse me, got to get this camera guy to the front, excuse me. And so people were making a way for him to go. So I looked at the camera guy, and there was two
you're
other
like,
camera
I've
guys
seen
behind
NASCAR.
Him.
NASCAR, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to strap.
So I got right behind the camera guy, and, you know, I am a big guy. I'm like, excuse me, folks, excuse me. Me trying to get to the front, you got to get to the front. So I got all the way to the front, and then wound up just talking to the people that were next to me, and most of them recognized me from speaking or whatever. Anyway, so I wound up in the very, very front. So I FaceTimed, I Facebook Live the whole thing with him coming out, his whole speech. There was a moment where I was live, and we were chanting USA, USA, and I held my book up in the camera view, and he saw that, and he pointed at me, and I pointed back, and there was another moment in it's about 40 minutes he was talking to us, where he said something about loving America, and I said, and we love you, and he stopped, and he said, and I love you too. So that was cool to have that exchange, and then he came around and started coming to shake hands and sign hats and saw my book and went, whoa. He's all, look at that right there. I said, Mr. President, you are the reason why I could not stay silent. And he was like, wow, take a picture. So I'm Facebook Living. I don't want to turn that off to take a picture.
Sure.
So I just held the camera up as if I'm taking a picture and got it steady and waited for him to, you know, he posed. And then I said, okay, it's great. He said, all right, thank you. Is this mine? Can I have this? I said, yes, absolutely. He said, all right, thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, how fun is that?
So amazing. It was absolutely just, I was like done at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Mission accomplished.
Okay,
mission accomplished. Yeah. Yeah, so
that was the picture that I saw, and I thought, what is going on with David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's killing it.
Yeah, to have the President of the United States take a picture with your book. I'm just waiting for him to tweet about it. I'm going to make a little video with those sections that I just spoke of and kind of add some to it and hope that it goes crazy viral on Twitter, because everybody knows he's on Twitter. and hope he sees it. You know, and I'll tag him.
Make sure
him
you
and
do
say,
it really, 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 really late at night.
Yeah, because it's true, right? I'll do it all.
Because he's really, really late. He's my kind of guy, Mr. Late
I'll
at
post
night.
It 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So it'd be amazing if he reads it, but it's definitely, it's definitely
well,
something
it really
that the
blows,
left's not going to love.
It blows the narrative.
It does.
I mean, it blows the whole narrative, yeah. You know, that he's a racist and a hater and, you know, he's there's no history there.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people that have worked in his staff over the years who have been black, who said, are you
yep.
kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, they were awesome to work with in the Trump organization.
Yeah, Katrina Pearson is his one of his chief advisors, and she's black. I mean, she's mixed like me. But the funny thing is, being mixed, nobody ever accused me of being a white guy.
That's funny. You're like half white, half black, but it was always the black part that won.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody ever accused me of being white. I'm not white. You know, the person doesn't look at me and they see that. I identify as an American, and I identify and accept and appreciate both of my cultures that I've come from. But when a person sees me, they don't see a white person. So I can use that to my advantage in saying, yeah, I understand what it means to be a part of the black community. But I can also share with you what it means to be a conservative and why I support my president.
Right.
And I've got a chapter in there for the black folks that, you know, might draw them in. It's called When Barack Was Elected, I Cried.
I saw that.
The interesting thing is, I didn't realize I was going to shed a tear because a black man became president. I wasn't even thinking about race. I still remember where I was at. We were living in Laguna Beach, and I was watching the election results come over the TV, and then it hit me. A black man is going to be elected president. But that was overshadowed with the sadness that it was Barack Obama, because I did not believe that he would adequately represent black America as the president of the United States.
So you, at that point, you already knew who he was.
I didn't vote for him. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. My mom said, again, research. He was pro-abortion. He voted for partial birth abortion 2 or 3 times. That's nothing that I want to have anything to do with. It's a eugenics program against the black community. You know, Margaret Sanger said blacks and Jews are like weeds and need to be exterminated. And she founded Planned Parenthood. And 80%+ of Planned Parenthoods are within 2 miles walking distances from black urban communities.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It's kind of crazy that that's almost a well-kept secret.
They try to keep it a secret.
Which is just silly. I mean,
Well,
numbers, I don't have any of that in front of me, but the numbers of black children that never make it are staggering.
Well, I know in New York, there's more black babies aborted in a year than are born.
In New York.
Wow.
Well, in the movie Death of a Nation, I think Dinesh D'Souza covered that pretty well, how all that came to be and the connection between the black community and Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, he did. He did it very well. Powerful movie.
Stunned us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Idea if the Gosnell movie is out on any kind of video at this point? Because it was only here for like 2 days. I think we were out of town at that time.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, David, what else did you learn when you were at the White House?
That Donald Trump loves all people. That the White House was, it just even being in there, was so nostalgic to be in there. And I've got a lot more pictures I haven't posted. But just to be in the White House and to walk the halls that have been walked by the presidents of the United States, and some good, some bad, some indifferent. Whatever, what have you.
Still very, very humbling.
It's very humbling, yeah. Very humbling and just amazing to be there. And I got to be there with my wife and my daughters. Our daughters were there. So it was an absolutely amazing experience. I'll need to write a book just on that, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, you could.
He's, everyone that I know that has actually met him or been in a room where he was speaking, you know, in a small enough setting, you know, not a big stadium type of thing, but he just... They said you just see him rewriting the agenda, because people in those kinds of positions usually, you know, they're pretty well lined out. You get this many minutes. You got to say this, because their schedule is really tight. And he's like, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. All right, here. Well, you know, I want you to do this, and runs over there and assigns that to staff. I mean, did that happen in your thing? Or was
I didn't
it a
specifically
little more...
see that, but I know that I think he spoke over the time we thought he was going to speak. Then he hung out, took pictures, and signed hats or books or whatever. Had people. Whatever people had for him to sign, and was just very personable. And I love that about him. He's not politically correct.
Super energetic and really, really friendly.
Yeah, very friendly.
Regular
He's a regular guy, and he's made. I mean, that's his MO. He's been that way. He hasn't ever had that billionaire.
Well,
you know,
I can't remember any president that would go to, you know, they call them rallies or whatever, but goes out and does a speech and draws that many people consistently. It's not like a fluke. You know, in a certain area, you drew more people.
Yeah, which is a popular place.
He packs the place no matter where he is. And I don't think there's a politician today that can do that.
Absolutely not.
There's a reason for that.
It's kind of funny, though. The thing that makes him awesome at that is the part that is also why people don't like him. Because he shoots from the hip. He says what he thinks. He's not polished when he does that in a lot of cases. And people are like, well, it's not very presidential.
No,
but if it was,
I'd rather be the same guy.
I'd rather get results.
Yep.
I'd rather have the results.
Exactly.
You know, I think his heart's in the right place. I can see past the small tweets that he makes that maybe...
Oh, there's plenty of things he says I don't like.
Sharp, callous, or not completely thought through.
Yeah,
but his heart's in the right
place. Bad. Although it was super funny.
It was funny, yeah. But I like the results that we're getting and seeing from this administration, and that's what I want more of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the kicker. And you know what? Hopefully, with this new movement that you're a part of with the... What is it called?
Blexit.
I was...
Blexit.com, yeah.
And it stands for?
Blacks exiting. So just exit the monolithic thought that we all have to think the same way, vote the same way, based on what our friends, parents, or grandparents have told us to do. Be free thinkers. Think for yourself. We're free.
And Charlie Kirk's kind of doing that in the younger set. Just because you're younger doesn't mean you have to, you know, vote and act a certain way.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk's the man.
Which is kind of awesome, actually. We'd love to talk to him, too. All right, got to take a quick break. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? If we pray for those raised up to lead the way, then maybe kids in school could play and unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed?
That's awesome. Stop asking Oprah what to do, please, Lord.
What if they stopped asking Oprah
for
what to
real?
Do?
Come on.
I listened to that song over and over and over last night, and I'm like, I got to pick a piece of it. And it's like, I can't pick 30 seconds. It's got to be longer.
That was good.
Anyway, that was a good message. From you. I didn't really realize you were a big Right to Life guy. But
absolutely.
Apparently God did, and he helped me pick the music. So
yeah.
Anyway, that was very handy.
It's funny, all the people that have a problem with pro-life are the ones already born.
Yeah, that is kind of awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a real war on women. There's a real war on women's babies.
Yeah, and they call it health care. That, I think, more than anything, that makes me angry.
Yeah.
That is not health care.
No.
Death care? Not. Death care, maybe, we could say that, but it is not health care.
You know, when they enacted Roe v. Wade, they didn't have the technology that they do now to prove that a baby has a heartbeat at 8 weeks and can feel pain at 12 weeks. So the whole theory that it's just tissue taken out, they can't stand on that. To know a baby can feel pain at 12 weeks, and then you want to go in that inside the womb and mutilate the baby and kill it and pull it out, it's just barbaric. It's absolutely sickening.
Especially when they're like 8 months, 9 months, you know.
Yeah, 5, 6, 4, 3.
Spooky.
And feel pain.
So in your Blexit movement, how big a part is that?
So we just launched it 2 weeks ago in D.C.
Okay.
And Candace and Brandon and I are on the board initially, and I think she's going to add some more board members to it. So we're strategizing right now what 2019 will look like. It'll consist of rallies in, I know, California, Texas, Florida, and I believe Chicago. And I cannot confirm or deny that Donald Trump may be at one of those events as well. He does know about it. He supports it. And so it's amazing to have that kind of support from him, because you know a lot of the support will come to help us achieve what our goals are in trying to wake Black America up, to really just pay attention to what's taking place and the policies that are keeping Black Americans in chains, really. It's just a new kind of plantation, I believe.
If you could fix one thing, you know, like one policy type of thing, if it was yours to do with your pen and your phone, and you could just make one policy change, what would it be?
You mean specifically it has to do with the Black community?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a hard question, but...
It's a difficult one, because it's kind of like Bill and I were talking about that earlier. You know, once you... It's like, don't feed the bears, because then they won't learn to fend for themselves and feed themselves. Yeah. Once you do that, once you've been doing that for so long, to just not feed the bears is like, is that just immediately condemning them to, you know, to death? Or are they going to fend for themselves and figure it out? But the fact that that families can only get aid, women can only get aid if there's no father in the home, that needs to be rescinded. I mean, I think that should be the number one thing that's rescinded, is like, hey, if there's a father in the home and he's trying to make a better life and he's got a job, and let's still give that family aid for a certain amount of time until they can fend for themselves, until they can actually support themselves. And I think people feel better about, I know I've felt better about having a job. I know when I was fresh out of high school and then newly married with and my wife got pregnant, we couldn't afford the health care. We didn't have health care, and we didn't have insurance. So we had to use Medicare, I think it was at that time, Medicare's for older.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's a meta something.
Yeah, it's a meta. You know, we got off of that as soon as we could afford everything ourselves that had to do with the baby. So there was a need for it for us in our circumstances at that age. But I think to penalize families, especially Black families and mothers and the children are really who's penalized, by saying you're only going to get aid if there's no father in the home, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to reverse that and start to gear policies towards enabling Black men to be fathers, and the Black women to want a father in the home. And if they can't do that without getting their aid cut off, then it's a catch-22.
And it's been that way forever.
Decades, yeah.
I mean, I'm 57, and when I was in elementary school, I was a sixth grader in Connecticut, and going to Catholic school, and they bust in kids from the inner city. And I was at a science fair project with a girl named Sabra Mayo, who was from the inner city. She had like 5 or 6 sisters, and they all had kids.
Wow.
Shows you how stupid we were. Okay, I'm a sixth grader, and my science fair partner, Sabra Mayo, has 2 children in sixth grade. And I was the oldest of 5 kids. It wasn't like we didn't have any kids in our house, but we didn't really know where they came from exactly. You know, I mean, Wow. We just didn't talk about all that back then.
You led a very sheltered life.
We did. We missed, very sheltered. We missed, you know, like Woodstock, and it was 50 miles away. You know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Didn't know what it was. Never heard about it until she was in college.
Wow. Oh, that was right next to us.
There were a lot of things I missed. But one of them was, you know, my science fair project partner had two kids, and it was kind of like,
Six, in the sixth grade.
But you didn't think about her having them, because we didn't really know what was involved with all that. But I look back on that. Wow. They lived in a tenement house in inner city Hartford, and had always garbage in the, like, they had the really short, like, hurricane fence that you see of the inner city houses, you know, the little short fence around it.
Yeah.
And there was always all this garbage blowing around. And I remember every time we took her home after we worked on our project, because we lived about a mile from school, and my mom was like, oh, we, you know, she can come over to our house, and then, you know, we'll just drive her home. We go down there, and we drive away. I'm like, Mom, why don't they pick up the garbage, you know? Because my dad was like, taskmaster, get out there and rake. There's leaves out there. You know, if there were papers blowing in the yard, my father would have had a stroke. And we just didn't understand the lifestyle, and there were no men there. No dads, no brothers, no, just all these women with, you know,
babies.
These babies,
having babies
who live there. And so apparently, this is just, I don't know, when we started doing this, but it's been a long time, creating this culture.
Yeah.
What a trap.
It is absolutely
so
a trap.
So in your group, you must have people from all over the country, people from bigger cities and stuff.
Yeah, we did. I mean, again, we just launched 2 weeks ago. I know Candace and I and Brandon are really wanting to include as many of the trailblazers that have been carrying the torch for black conservatives for decades. There's a lot out there, and we want to bring them all together. We really feel like it's the time to unite, to bring as many black individuals that have conservative values together from technology, from manufacturing, from business development and management, and really begin to teach as many young black leaders, men, women, that want to learn about the trades that will inspire them or that they want to get into, give them the tools necessary to do that and learn in the process about the kinds of policies that actually enable it to be simpler and actually work for our benefit, not against our benefit.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
You wouldn't think you'd have to sell that.
You shouldn't have to.
That would be controversial.
It's just getting the word out and making sure that we all know. And there's a lot of trailblazers that have gone before us. Mason Weaver, I had on my show. He left.
Why do I know his name?
He's been a prominent black conservative for a lot of years. He's in his 60s. Mason Weaver. He was there in D.C. He left the Black Panther Party. He was in Berkeley.
That's it.
He was in Berkeley, left the Black Panther Party, and became a conservative and has been championing that since the 60s. So there's a lot of individuals like that that have been carrying the torch that we need to rally behind, that have knowledge, have history, and then the leaders in, like I said, education, technology, business development, manufacturing, and begin to be specific and strategic towards the black community. And I think when they see us doing that from that perspective, then in the process, they're going to find out why we vote the way we do and why we support the agendas that we are of the president, of his administration, of conservative agendas that make it simpler and easier, you know, less regulations, less big government, but get the government out of your, you know, out of your daily lives.
I don't understand why that's hard to sell either. I mean, that has never made sense to me.
And that's what they have to understand. And they don't, there's no understanding of how all that works.
Yeah.
You know, get the government out of your life.
Yeah.
That
big government sucks.
Yeah, but that must be a horribly scary thing when that's all you've grown up with.
Right. You know? Yeah. Government checks. Yep. Yeah. Every month. Government food.
The government cheese.
All of it.
Never going to work.
The government displaced the black fathers in the home and became the father in the home.
Yep.
And have done a horrific job of doing that. And in doing that and taking black men out of the home, it's created just catastrophic results for the black community.
So sad and silly. And it's amazing that you can do that with a whole culture and that they don't revolt.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're like leading a revolt that should be obvious.
It should be. Yeah. We're going to make it more obvious.
And yet you're taking tons of crap for it. And good for you for doing it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. One last swift break, and then we'll come back. Anything, Bill, that you need to know before the top of the hour so that, you know.
No, I'm good. I got a couple other chapters I buzzed through real quick, but...
And we do have to hear the rest of the story about the cameraman. When we come back, David told us on the last break there was a little more to the cameraman when he, the guy that he drafted on to get to the front of the room to get his book in the president's hand. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I wanna light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. We said just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue.
Figured in light of the fact that you were, breaking with tradition, you were probably the wayward son. This would be the David theme song. The wayward son song. So what haven't we covered? What else do you want people to know? Oh, the cameraman thing. Tell them that story, because that's hilarious.
So it was definitely a God thing that I got to the front rope. I shared how there was no way I was going to get to the front. It's body to body, 15, at least close to 20 people deep, 30 people across.
You were clear in the back.
And I was in the very back. And along comes this cameraman, a press man bringing a cameraman.
That's okay.
Sorry about that, folks. A press man bringing a cameraman through the front. And the guy thought that the cameraman was supposed to be at the front. Anyway, so I got behind the cameraman and got all the way to the front. And then about 2 minutes later, security came over and were like, yeah, you don't have the right pass to be in the very front, because Fox and CNN, all the mainstream media were here. So the cameraman had to go back to the back. So God set that up just for me to get to the front.
He put him there so you could get up front.
Just but they get didn't, to the front.
You didn't have the right pass either, though, right?
Well, no, it wasn't about that. It was just that, we were all there to be there.
You were allowed to be there.
But he wasn't allowed to be in the front with his camera because the cameras were on the sides and they were Fox, CNN, MSNBC, whatever. They were all in the back. So they didn't want him set up in the very front. They didn't want that angle, whatever it was. So out of all the different, sections that this guy could have burrowed his way through the front, he came right behind my right shoulder. So I hopped in and drafted, and then he had to go back. But I stayed.
And left you there.
Yeah, I stayed.
Yeah.
I guess we sort of had that at Disney World. We went looking for a tombstone in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, that's right.
My one of my coworkers, her uncle was like an Imagineer. Really a big one. It drew all sorts of stuff that we all know from Disneyland and Disney World. All the ghosts that are dancing in the Haunted Mansion. That was his idea.
Wow.
So anyway, they put a tombstone up for him after he died. So we asked the staff, we're like, hey, do you know where this is? It's hot, hot, hot Florida. We're just sweating. We're dying. And the girl's like, yeah, come with me. I found it. Well, it's at the front of the line. And we're like, oh, this is so awesome. So we take pictures of it. She goes, well, are you going to ride the ride? We were like, yeah, but we're not going to go all the way back. She goes, oh, just stay right here. It was like, thanks, Uncle Campbell.
Nice.
So that's our that's the only drafting we've ever done was on a tombstone at the Haunted Mansion. Yours is way better.
So good.
Oh my gosh. Well, so who do you guys work with, anybody in particular at the White House? I mean, is this going to be an ongoing kind of partnership, or?
I don't know the details of that. I know Candace.
Is that Candace's department?
Yeah, I know Candace was at the White House on election night with Donald Trump. He had election party, Don Jr., Melania. A lot of people were there, but I know she got to talk to him about this at the White House. So he's aware, he supports us. And so she's kind of, between her and Charlie, there are inside connection right now at the White House.
And Charlie Kirk, he's a prolific guy on Twitter
and
everywhere else.
Twitter, Instagram.
He is all over the place. You can't miss him.
Yeah, he's doing a brilliant young man. He's only 25. Started Turning Point when he was 19.
Where's 18, he come 19. From anyway?
Not sure what city he was born in. I would say get his book. Turning Point is the name of his first book, and it kind of talks about the turning point for himself and why he chose to start that organization that is just supporting conservatives on campuses across the country where they're predominantly 80-90% more likely supported and only organizations that are leftist, liberal organizations. And so conservatives on campuses across the country don't have a safe haven, so to speak, to be able to feel like they're supported or get plugged into something that supports our conservative values.
Well, and if they, you know, we've all seen what happens when they want to have a speaker or something like that, you know, then they burn down half the campus, break all the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a tolerant group.
Yeah, such a tolerant group.
Well, I have a feeling that if Trump's schedule allows it, he'll show up. He'll show up.
I hope so. I believe he will. At least one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
So how are you guys getting the word out? Social media, I'm sure.
Yep, social media right now. And then our next rally, I believe, is going to be in January. We're meeting in the next few weeks, Brandon, Candace, and I, to discuss all of those things. But we've got a good base of people so far from the 400 that were at the last event, and then the ones that could not make it but wanted to come. And so social media is a simple and fast way to get the word out, the message out. And when you have somebody like Charlie Kirk or Candace Owens that puts it out there, word travels pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Any support from, black political figures?
Yeah, there's several. None right now are coming into my name, but I know there's several political figures that have supported it. I mean, I think the biggest that we named earlier is Ben Carson. He's aware and supports it. So I know that our goal is to bring as many individuals from the black community from different aspects of society to be a part of this and make a united front for the next 2 years going into 2020.
Are you anticipating you'll take some heat from, like, the Black Caucus and that kind of thing?
Oh, I'm sure we already do, but that's what's new. They just continue to prove exactly what they're really about, which is not the black community. It's about power and keeping people down. And so it just, they prove our point. They can do what they want to do, and we're going to do what we're going to do, which is make America greater again for the black community.
Mm-hmm. And Diamond and Silk, where do they figure into this? Just kind of like, are they your pips?
I haven't spoken to them specifically on this, but I know that Candace was with them a few weeks ago, so I'm sure they're aware of it, and I'm sure we'll figure out a way where we can partner and network together, because it's united we stand as a country and as a people.
I don't know anything about those ladies. I mean, I've seen them on YouTube. I guess I should post that for people who maybe aren't social media people, but it's two black ladies that are...
Sisters.
Oh, they're sisters. Mm-hmm. Okay. How old are they?
I don't know, and I wouldn't guess. But
I'm guessing like 50s.
I don't know.
60s?
I don't think they're older.
Are they younger?
They're early. I think they're maybe mid 40s.
She was talking so fast and everything.
40s,
it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen them on Tucker and Hannity.
I've just seen them on
around.
Videos.
Oh yeah, they're on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And so when did they become super active?
Well, early on in Trump's election race for president, he spotted either one of their videos, and then he pulled them up on stage with him, and they just went boom. So pretty much they've got access now. If he's showing up at a rally,
sure.
You know, he'd love to have them there because they speak the truth. They speak what's on their mind.
They're really funny.
You know, they shred the stereotype that all blacks have to support Democrats, and they're funny.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But they don't mince their words.
No.
They
spit it real, so to speak. They definitely keep it real.
Are you guys planning on your movement being mostly like live stuff or... you having like little chapters in other places. Have you gotten that far to figure out
what it looks
like?
Yeah, our goal is to have chapters around the country that will help support the movement for what Blexit's doing. And the biggest goal will be the rallies and try to just get as many people in and bring as many to the table to hear what we have to say and hear what the speakers have to say to just continue the pendulum swinging. Can you even imagine if the black vote was on the other side of the spectrum, 80%+ towards conservative.
Oh, it would make a huge difference.
I never understood really why the black vote stayed where it was to start with, because they've always, that whole culture has always been very pro-family, and I never understood the abortion. The support of the abortion platform. That never made sense to me.
Yeah, especially when you have black pastors that are supporting Democrat policies and the platform, and it's abortion. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a minor thing. Well,
no.
I mean, besides the fact as an event, it's a major thing. It's a life-ending event.
It's a life-ending event.
But it isn't just some little thing, and all the other policies are great. I mean, really, a lot of those things are keeping the crime where it is, the gangs where they are, the poverty where it is, I mean, you look at places like Detroit. I mean, ran it all the way down to the part where they're, the place imploded.
Yeah, it's been ran by Democrats for decades. Chicago ran by Democrats for decades.
Yeah, and the killing there is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's awesome, and I'm excited that you guys are getting the word out, because we can't do that. Only you can do that.
We can partner together.
We can, like, ride
like
along
today.
Behind and, like, yay, go David, go Candace.
We partner together and go for you.
But, you've got our platform anytime you need it.
Yeah, we'd love to keep in touch with you as this thing progresses.
Absolutely.
The stalking will begin now.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you
Our
so
guest
much.
Has been David J. Harris, Jr., his book, Why I Couldn't Stay Silent, One Man's Battle as a Black Conservative. You're listening to We the People. You can find all our information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Is in Bloomapia, transmissions will resume. Now try to push, try to keep us all down and down. And oh God, we will never see the truth around.